Reading from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, continues the narrative of the telling of the first Easter in the Gospel of John. I'm going to begin reading a few verses earlier than printed in the bulletin. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. The context here is that Mary Magdalene has gone to the tomb, and after a while, she encounters Jesus. And that's where we pick up the narrative. Listen to God's word, John 20, verse 14. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Those words were written by the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. And they tell us something very important about Paul's understanding of the resurrection. Last week we talked about, and as was read so beautifully for us this morning from the book of 1 Corinthians, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a key and central doctrine of the Christian faith. In fact, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, without the resurrection of Christ, if Christ was not raised from death, then there really is no Christian faith. And what we say we believe, we're really just fooling ourselves. Our faith is futile. He goes on to say that there is no forgiveness of sins because it's the resurrection that validates the cross of Jesus Christ. And there is no forever in our future. Only death. And that's it. But there's more to understanding the resurrection of Jesus Christ than just what's going to happen or may not happen in the future. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just about, although it surely is, about the fact that we too one day will be raised from death with resurrection bodies, raised to immortality. Death will not be the final answer. But you know, there's a whole lot of living for us to do right now before that becomes such a great factor for us. It's a factor now, certainly, because we realize that those whom we love who have died before us are not just dead and gone, but we're going to see them again. So there is some practicality. But Paul says in this statement, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, that there's something about the resurrection, because Christ has been raised from the dead, that gives us power, that makes a difference in the way we live our lives today. And we see it throughout this text in the 20th chapter. And just very briefly, because of our time and communion today, I want to mention just a couple of people. One is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, we read in the Gospel of John, comes to the tomb early on Easter morning while it's still dark. The women were not able to complete the process of burial on Friday before sunset was coming upon them, and that meant the beginning of the Sabbath when no other work of that kind could be done, and so they had to stop the preparations. They had to wait until the Sabbath was over, sunrise, the Sabbath would have been over sunset on Saturday, but now, so she's there early, early in the morning at probably her first opportunity. And not only is it dark outside, but it's dark within her as well. For she goes to the tomb totally expecting to find the dead body of Jesus whom she loves, who healed her of a radical mental illness. So the scripture tells us. She goes wanting to complete the burial process, and she is devastated when she sees that the grave is open, and she presumes the worst out of her context of grief that they've stolen the body. She goes and gets Peter and John, and they come, and there's some interaction in there. She sticks her head in after they've left. She sticks her head in the tomb. She sees angel there, but she doesn't recognize that it's an angel out of her grief. This brief conversation, and then all of a sudden, this guy appears behind her. And it's Jesus, but she, out of her grief, doesn't recognize that it's Jesus. Sadness, grief, and despair, if you've never known it, but if you have known it, you know that it clouds the way we view the world. It affects everything. It affects our outlook. It affects our energy. It affects our ability to see reality. And she has conversation with Jesus, thinking he's the gardener, and then one word is spoken that changes her life, that changes grief to joy, that changes death to life, despair to hope, and that word is her name. Jesus speaks her name, Mary. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. Because he is not dead, there is hope. Because he is not dead, there is not darkness, but the light overcomes the darkness. And as it said about his birth, then the darkness has never been able to overcome it. But then Jesus gives her a task. And it is this woman, Mary Magdalene, who is the first evangelist. She's the first person to have seen the risen Christ, and she is the first person to go and tell others that Christ has been raised. This is radical. You know, some have said that the apostles later on made up this story about Jesus being raised from the dead. If they made up the story, they totally failed in this capacity, because nobody in that day and age would give such a prominent place to a woman. In fact, when the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, which was written earlier than the Gospel, lists all of the people to whom Christ appeared, he doesn't even mention Mary Magdalene. He doesn't even mention any women, except in passing that a group of 500 people. She is given this special, special place. Wish I could say more, but I'll move on. Then that night, there are the disciples. And the disciples, they're known as the 12, even though by this time we know there's 11. Actually, there's only 10 present at this time. But the 12 identifies them as the apostles, as the disciples. And they're in the house, probably where they had Monday, Thursday dinner, the Last Supper. And they're in there, probably in the upper room, and it says the doors of the house were locked. Why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid of the Jews. Well, why? Because they're afraid that they're going to get the same treatment Jesus got. They're afraid that their lives are in danger. That's why they did not hang around after Jesus was arrested. That's why they were not there except for John at the foot of the cross. Because they were afraid. And they're huddled there. And all of a sudden, through the locked doors, and this is the mystery of Jesus' resurrection body. We won't get into all the details, but man, it's something special. He's there in their midst. And the very first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." Probably scared them half to death. So of course he said peace. He says it three times in this passage. "Peace be with you. Take a look. Look at my hands," he said. "Look at my side." He shows it to them. "I'm alive." And their fear now is turned into joy. And it's these disciples who are given the commission by Jesus now. This is kind of a foretaste of Pentecost here. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them as kind of a foretaste of the fullness that they're going to receive at Pentecost. And he gives them a job to do, because now these turkeys, these chickens, who have been so afraid that they've hidden themselves away behind locked doors, they're going to be the ones who go in boldness throughout the world, in Jerusalem and in Rome, and all throughout the world, and they are going to be the ones who proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus Christ changes their lives. He turned fear into joy. And lastly, Thomas. Oh man, do so many of us identify with Thomas. He's called Doubting Thomas. It says here, don't doubt but believe. Thomas is the original man from Missouri. You know, he's not going to believe anything unless you show me. He wasn't there when the disciples... Did I get that right? It's Missouri, right? Show me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Can't trust me always on details like that. He is the one who wasn't there the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples, and he didn't believe them. Or rather, he wouldn't believe him. It says, I will not believe. It's an act of will. He's not going to believe it until he sees it himself. He's doubting. And then a week later, in the room, I like the way John says, the doors are shut. Not locked, shut. It also shows a little bit, they're not quite as fearful as they were. Jesus is there. First thing he says, peace be with you. Then he looks to Thomas and he says, okay, Thomas, here's my hands. Put your finger in the holes of the nails. Thomas, here's my side where the spear went in. Put your hand in there if you want. And here's the thing. Thomas doesn't have to touch him. It doesn't say Thomas touched him. For in encountering the risen Christ, Thomas stops doubting and he believes. And here's the thing about what happens next. And it's easy to miss in here. This guy, Thomas, who would not believe, refused to believe the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the one out of whose mouth and lips comes the climactic statement, not only of the Gospel of John, but of the New Testament, of the Scripture itself. It is this one who speaks the truest word, the most specific identity. Now they know who Jesus is because he has been raised from the dead. Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Now just look at what's happened in those passages. One person, a woman, whose life is in despair, encounters the living Christ, and her life is changed, and she is given the honor of being the first witness of the resurrection. Then a whole group of disciples who are fearing for their lives encounter the living Christ, and their lives are changed, never to be the same again, because they face death, they face persecution, and all of them except John die the death of a martyr, proclaiming Jesus Christ. They're given that commission. And then there's Thomas, who refuses to believe, but he encounters the living Christ, and his life is changed. His doubt is gone. Thomas himself would become martyred in India as the tradition is spreading the gospel. And he gives the climactic statement of all of the statements that anybody ever makes in the scripture. My Lord and my God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not something that we celebrate just because we know we're going to get out of death. It's not a get out of death free card. It is. But it's also meant to be something, the power of which, when we encounter the living Christ, changes our lives. Not only that, it doesn't just change our lives so that we're happier and more fulfilled. It changes our lives for a purpose. All of those people were given something to do. Easter not only means celebration and parade, it means that you are encountering the living Christ so that you can serve him. And if all Easter is just singing the joys that we no longer need to fear death, you're missing. We're missing the fulfillment of it. Today, we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and it is in this sacrament that we today have our most intimate opportunity to encounter through the Holy Spirit the reality of the living Christ. We will come with different needs. Some may come with sadness and carrying burdens. Some may come in grief. Some may come afraid. Afraid of whatever in their lives. Afraid for their health. Afraid for their future. Afraid for their finances. Afraid for their children. Afraid. Just afraid. Others may come today and be like Thomas. You're here, but you're not absolutely convinced of this reality. Well, here we go, folks. Christ is here. Christ is alive. He's here through His Spirit. His body is real. It is seated at the right hand of God. We will see that body, that resurrected body, someday with our own physical eyes, and it will be the most beautiful sight of anything that has ever been made. But today, we have the opportunity of encountering through the living Christ the power of the resurrection. The power of God that raised Christ from the dead, not just for ourselves as a perk, but so that as each of us in the giftedness that each of us have been given, out of the context of our own lives, of our own needs, of our own energies, may be given the privilege that Mary Magdalene had, that the disciples had, that Thomas had, to be part of the spreading of the good news of the kingdom of God, because Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.